from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines and for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Oh, you're damn right it is. Good morning, everybody. A happy Monday to you. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Kyle.
Whether you're listening on ESPN 1320, whether you're watching on YouTube or Twitch, whether you're on the free Odyssey app, we appreciate you hanging out with us. That's James. I'm Kyle. And we got a lot to get into today with the NBA playoffs. I finally feel like they're really rolling. I feel like we actually have some real series now. We've got the NFL draft to recap and to talk about from the Raiders standpoint, from the 49ers standpoint. And we're going to do something a little bit different today because this show is 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
We typically don't do the guest thing. We will every now and then.
Except for during football season, we have...
Right, during football season, we have our guy Faraz Siddiqui on every Friday.
Fantasy Fridays with Faraz Siddiqui.
Fantasy Friday. But other than that, we typically don't do a lot of guests.
Yeah.
Mostly, nothing against people. We're just a little bit shorthanded, and doing guests is sometimes a little tough. But we're bringing you a bunch of them today.
Mm.
At 10:30, we're going to have Doug Farrar, who is the managing editor of Touchdown Wire. He's not really my boss, but he's kind of like the lead writer at the NFL Wire Network. He does so much tape work on all of these draft prospects. I hit him up about Chop Robinson from Penn State. Very early on in the draft process, I was like, hey, just watched a little bit of this guy, was curious to get your thoughts. And he goes, haven't watched yet. Give me a while and I'll get to him. It's like, great. Hours later, I had a full breakdown of like, here's what he does well. Here's what he doesn't do well. Here's how I project him. Da-da-da-da. He's great. Does such a great job. He'll join us at 10:30.
Okay.
At 11:15, we will have Tashawn Reed from The Athletic. He covers the Raiders for The Athletic. Wrote some really interesting stuff with Vic Tafer over the weekend about how the Raiders approached this year's draft and what this team could look like moving forward. Can't wait to talk to him. He is one of the very best young beat writers doing it. And then Nick Wagner, our buddy from ESPN, he covers the 49ers for the Mothership. He will join us at 11:30 to recap what the 49ers did over the weekend. A lot going on today.
We do have a lot going on.
Let's put a pin in the draft stuff for a bit, though, because I'm ready to follow Anthony Edwards to the end of the earth.
Okay.
I'm just in. I'm all in on Anthony Edwards as a star.
Are you as in on Anthony Edwards as you are out on the Milwaukee Bucks?
Buddy, yes. Yes. I feel bad for the Bucks. I can't even, because we've talked about this on the show, the running bit for 2 months now, is I'm just out on the Bucks.
Yeah.
I feel bad, though. I don't even feel good about the I'm out on the Bucks take. Because I feel like Giannis hurt, Dame hurt, Bobby Portis, Draymond.
Insane.
He's pulled up. Seven minutes.
What are you doing, bro?
They need you.
Ugh.
Can you imagine if you had prize picks him more than 20 points? like I almost did.
Oh, no.
I didn't. I didn't do it. But
I'm
I wanted
glad you
to.
Didn't. That's nuts.
That would have sucked.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I've been out on the Bucks, and then you see, oh, Dame's hurt. Then Chris Middleton gets banged up during the game. It's like, God, guys can't catch
like
a break.
Wave the white flag. Just like, we're done.
I'm really interested see to year. See, and we can talk about this. We were talking a little bit pre-show about kind of the Kings' future and the idea of pushing all your chips in and going all in. But I think there's another side to that coin, and you look at some of these teams that were supposed to be dominant, right? The Bucks, I don't know what their next 3 years looks like. The Sixers, I don't know what their next 3 years looks like. The Suns, I know what their next 3 years looks like, and it's not pretty.
Yeah, it's done. Yeah, I mean,
there could just be some seismic changes here in the NBA over the next season or two. The Bucks being ousted in the first round, back-to-back years, is tough.
I mean, they already fired the coach. Now what do you do?
I mean, they're not out yet. I shouldn't say they're out.
Well, but they're like...
They're on track to get ousted in the first
round. Yeah, they're hanging on by a thread. And not only that, but their two stars are both battling. One has a calf and one has an Achilles injury. Like, that's not good.
It's very bad, actually.
Yeah, you're like teetering on the brink of your two stars being out for a year.
Yeah.
Which means by the time that they would be back, if they do, either one of them blows an Achilles.
Which, fingers crossed, they don't.
Yeah, Dame is basically done. Mm-hmm. Like, he's already like 34, 35. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. Like, what are you doing here? And yeah, just a brutal position to be in. And that's what I think this playoff season has been about. It's about these teams that have gone all in and are now just teetering on the brink of disaster. And what does that mean for everybody else?
Yeah.
Like everyone else is like,
yeah,
I'm going to reap the benefits.
Yeah.
They're like John Lovitz in The Wedding Singer.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. He's going insane.
Yeah, I've not seen The Wedding Singer.
Oh, man, come on.
I might have watched it when I was young, like when it first came out.
Okay.
But I was very small when that movie came out, so okay. I didn't get it.
Adam Sandler goes
insane.
I feel
like I've kind of outgrown Adam Sandler a little bit.
Okay.
So I've just not felt the need to go revisit old Adam Sandler stuff.
He just stopped making good movies.
I loved Waterboy.
Okay.
Happy Gilmore, great film.
Yeah.
But I just...
Billy Madison,
I don't know. I've never
stuff.
Felt the need to go back and like, oh, I need to go watch The Wedding Singer.
No. Mr. Deeds is good.
Oh, speaking of movies...
Uh-oh.
Do you know what I did over the weekend?
You went to the movies?
No.
Oh, okay.
I watched Shawshank Redemption for the first time in my life.
Oh, Jesus. Like, I feel like I have to leave the room. The first time in your life?
Oh, me. No, we're air horns and applause for me.
Oh, my God.
I did it. I've watched it. Incredible film.
One of the great movies of all time.
But again, this is one of the... I'm glad I watched that movie as an adult. Like, as a person who could appreciate what the movie was about.
Okay.
Because I think if I had watched that as a 15-year-old, I would have been like, wow, boring movie.
Mm, okay.
But I really, really enjoyed it.
My boys
what a tremendous movie
they,
film.
They enjoyed it.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had never seen it. And I finally, this weekend... We needed to watch a classic movie for this like movie challenge thing we're doing. I was like, well, we're watching Shawshank.
Oh, yeah. I mean, truly one of the great movies.
Had a couple of rough parts for sure. Just with some of the subject matter. But
oh yeah,
overall, really, really enjoyable. What a movie.
Great movie.
Crossed off The Godfather and Shawshank.
I know.
This year. Now it's a big year for me, dude.
You've got a couple of movies left to go, but... You're on a path.
No, I think I've seen them all.
You're on a path, Kyle.
I've seen them all.
I have seen them all, Kyle.
All of them. My buddy Randy is a big movie buff, and he does the Letterboxd thing.
Okay.
Just like a social media site for people who love movies.
Okay.
Is kind of how I've gathered it. You can review your own movies, and you post lists and all that. And my man watches like 12 movies a week. He's every day. He's like, these are the four movies I watched yesterday. I'm like, you have time to watch four movies, bro?
That's pretty crazy.
I need
now,
to get on that life.
I do watch a lot of series.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, even my wife will come in. She's like, what are you watching? And I'll be like, I don't know. It's some Swedish crime series that's dubbed in English.
Yes.
She's like, yeah, I can hear that it's dubbed. Like, I know. And it's like, I got into this one the other day, and it was like four episodes in. I'm like, how? And it's the same story. They don't, they're just running this thing out. And I'm like, okay, how many episodes are there? There are 20 episodes, and they're 55 minutes each. And I'm like,
that's outrageous.
I'm pot committed. I got to go.
That's outrageous.
Took me like 3 days, and I busted through. Like,
that's
like almost 18 hours, I think, of my life.
You did 20 one-hour episodes
20, like,
in 3 days?
55-minute episodes. Yeah, because I do that while I do other things. Yeah. I've told you, I have
wait,
an ability.
So how do you, wait, hang on real quick. How do you do other things while watching a subtitled show?
Oh, no, they're dubbed. So it's dubbed in English.
I'm out.
Oh, no.
I'm out on the dub.
Oh, no, if it's a good series, it's a good series. But I can, like, multitask. I can watch a series, a baseball game or a basketball game, and write at the same time, as long as I'm not transcribing quotes.
Sure.
Yeah, so that's my brain just like, dunk, 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 dunk. Like, it doesn't, like, okay. I don't know.
You think it does.
Well.
Until you start showing me a Mike Brown clip that I showed you the previous day. And it turns out you weren't multitasking. You were doing one thing and not paying attention to me.
On occasion. on occasion. Well, that was one of those days where a lot of things were happening.
So much happening.
Yeah.
Man. NBA playoffs. Not my movie watching habits. Yeah, dude. Anthony Edwards, I thought going into this year, and this is why when Carl Anthony Towns went down, it's like, I'm not going to count out the Timberwolves because I believe heavily in Anthony Edwards.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept them, and Jade McDaniels stepped up a lot, and Rudy Gobert was really good without Carl Anthony Towns. Like, it wasn't just Ant.
And Naz Reid.
And Naz Reid, of course. Sixth man of the year.
Sixth man of the year.
Sixth man of the year starter, Naz Reid. Naz Reid, who really helped that team once he entered the starting lineup. the way he approached this series and attacked this series, I continue to be blown away. And all this stuff. Now, I want to step away from the, he's the new Michael Jordan. I'm out. I don't want to do that.
Okay.
I want to move forward in the world where, Anthony Edwards is just on track to be one of the two or three best guys in the league.
I'm with you on that because he feels like he's not Michael and he's not LeBron. And I mean, maybe he's like young Vince Carter, but either way, like you want to see who he becomes because he's so physical, and he, like, when he goes for a block in a game and he like hits his elbow on the backboard and you're just sitting there like, what are you doing up there?
And it doesn't even look like he's trying.
No. Man, that dunk he had was just unbelievable. Vicious. And the same with who had the big one? Oh, Miles Turner, right? He's the one that threw it down from, like, extendo arm. Yeah. Miles Turner had a huge game this weekend, too.
Man.
And a big dunk.
Miles Turner, fascinating player as well.
Yeah. But not Anthony Edwards.
No. A 40 on the road, 49-6 with a steal and two blocks to close out the Suns.
Yeah, and to close them out. I mean, like, that's closing a franchise out. Like,
yeah, man, they're done.
Like, where do you go from there? And I mean, like, I was watching that whole game. I was so impressed. I'm not a big Devin Booker fan in general. Mm-hmm. So impressed with how hard he was fighting. Yeah. But the problem was every time he did something spectacular, you looked at the score and it was still a 1-point game. It didn't matter what he did. They were still tracking the whole time. They could not stop Minnesota at all. And it was just back and forth. And I thought Booker, like, taking the ball to the basket, pull up jumper, like he was fighting and like doing everything in his power.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing they could do. And that's when you're like, oh man, you've capped out and it's the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And to get there, just to get there, you had to play Kevin Durant at like 37.2 minutes per game.
Is that what it was?
Yes. Oof. The entire season. And then you're like, how do you get better?
Oh, no.
You lost Grayson Allen. You can't do anything now? Okay, wow. Yeah, that team is like,
they're in a bad spot.
Hell.
They're in a bad spot. And then you see Kevin Durant coming out after the season. The Athletic article drops about how he was unhappy with the offense and
wants to be traded again. There, no one asked to be traded as much as Kevin Durant. Quietly.
I saw somebody say that his career is going to be impossible to explain. And somebody said, no, it's not. He's one of the greatest players of all time. And it's like, no. That's why it's going to be impossible.
Yeah.
It's not impossible to explain who else played on a lot of teams. Like Austin Rivers' career.
No.
Or Robert Horry's career. Like, no, it's pretty straightforward. They played for a bunch of teams. Kevin Durant is one of the greatest players ever. and could not consistently figure it out.
No. Well, that, I mean.
But he's also a two-time finals MVP.
You take him and you take James Harden. Like, how do you explain those two careers? Like, I don't know. I don't know. I think we have to go to a break, Kyle.
We do. Oh, geez. Yeah. No, we sure do. We'll continue talking about the NBA playoffs. We'll talk about the NFL draft. We're guest heavy today. Going to be super fun. Can't wait to dive into this on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Hey, we're back. We got a show to do. That's James. I'm Kyle. Come hang out in the chatty house, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. When we go to break on the radio, we just talk to the chatty house.
Yeah.
We take questions. We take a look at whatever discussions are going on in there and seeing if we can contribute to what they got going on. And we were just talking about Joel Embiid and the fact that we're talking a bunch of NFL draft today, but we've got Kings rebuild stuff coming throughout the summer. So stay tapped into ESPN 1320 for that. But we're talking about Joel Embiid. And as much as I admire, I think Joel Embiid's incredible. I don't want this to come off like I'm disparaging him in some way. He is remarkable. He was on track to win MVP. He's one of the best players in the league. He's all flat out.
Yeah.
I don't love watching him play basketball. For the same reason, it's prime James Harden, Luka Doncic, it's the Chris Paul, it's the just trying to drop Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah.
It's the I'm going to drive with the intent of getting fouled, not trying to score and getting fouled as a result of being way better than everybody. I'm going to do an unnatural, weird-ass shooting motion to make sure my arm gets hit. I'm going to flail around every time there's contact in the paint. It's just not an enjoyable watch for me, man.
No, I'm with you. I fully understand that. I think it's a little different with Embiid because he is so big and it's nearly impossible to officiate him.
Yeah.
And I also think he's a good dude. So, like, he gets a lot of calls that say a guy like DeMarcus Cousins would never get.
It's a good point.
Because Cousins was nearly impossible to ref. Like, mm-hmm. when he started a spin move and, like, he looks like, I don't know, like, what is it? Nicolas Cage chasing Sean Connery down the streets of San Francisco in a Hummer in The Rock.
Sure.
Like, he's just shedding cars everywhere.
Yeah.
That's what DeMarcus looked like as a player. He just, like, running over everybody. Everybody's just got it, like, falls down around him because he's just such a big man. But Embiid is well-liked, so he gets the calls where Cousins never did. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I think it's interesting to watch. I mean, he's a phenomenal player. I just, when I'm watching him the whole time, I'm like, man, when you are, like, 45 years old, you're not going to be able to walk at all.
Yeah, man.
Like, what you're doing to your body right now just to be out there for a team that's not going to make it out of the first round.
I'm worried about him, like, next year.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's got this knee thing. It's really clear it's bugging him. And would it shock you at all? I don't know. I'm the hypothetical world. Would it shock you at all if after the season they're like, oh, yeah, he's having knee surgery. He's out for 6 months.
No.
I wouldn't be surprised whatsoever.
No.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt that at all.
Yeah. Kawhi Leonard, probably out for the series. Dame Lillard, Giannis, probably out for their series. Embiid is playing.
But this is why the restrictions on games played was always going to be a thing.
Yeah.
Like, how much gas?
Zion's hurt.
Yeah, Zion's hurt. But look at a guy like Kevin Durant, too. He's playing, but how much gas does he have left in the tank?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at how many minutes he played, how many games he played this season. And this is always a concern. Some of these guys, they have to just, like, give up the fact that they can't be all NBA or they can't be considered for an MVP or whatever. Sure. They do. They have to do what's right for their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a guy like Kawhi, he plays more games this year than ever. And I almost feel like he's kind of retaliating and just like, okay, I'm hurting. It's like, I don't know what's wrong with him. Like,
right.
Like, this is something that, and it kind of put it on him. Like, his career has been marred by this exact same thing.
Definitely.
And so you always have the question mark, like, okay, what exactly are we doing here?
Mm-hmm.
But hey, look, I think this is why you don't make arbitrary numbers and put them out there and then just make your players live by it. I also think the players should play.
The other, you know? Totally. The other side of this coin, though, is I think Tom Brady and LeBron have warped our idea of how players age.
Oh, yeah, probably.
I mean, 35 years old used to be ancient.
Mm-hmm.
35 used to be like, yo, you are Larry Bird on the Dream Team. You are in a back brace laying down on the court during games and not playing much because you are so damn old.
Okay, so...
like, that's how it used to be. But now LeBron's 39 and playing at an all-NBA level. And it's like, oh, well, it's obviously the minutes and playing time that's the reason that these guys are running out of gas and getting hurt. Like, no, man, it's because they're old.
I'll make this comparison, too. I don't think, again, Barry Bonds probably could have got away with some of the stuff that he did as if he would have done that at 32.
Yes.
Because when all of a sudden, like, him and, like, here we have Rafael Palmeiro doing, like, Viagra commercials on TV and hitting 40 jacks a year with 110 RBI, and he's 37 years old, and you're like, what is happening here?
Yeah.
It was because... well, no one else looks like this.
Right.
Everyone else gets to 35. At 36, your home run total goes from 35 to 27. At 37, 27 goes down to 19.
Yes.
And then you're basically, if you hold on for one more year, you're done. Mm-hmm. Maybe two. But that's because they contractually paid you way too much and you just have to keep playing.
Sure.
But when Barry started doing this stuff, we're like, oh, something's dirty. That can't happen.
Yeah, you can't go from hitting 40 home runs a year to 73 at age 37 or whatever.
Well, that, and you can't, like for Roger Clemens, you can't get to 32 and your arm is shot and you don't win games anymore and your ERA is at 5. And then all of a sudden, you go on to win 4 Cy Youngs.
Yeah.
Like, okay, wait, what is happening? Like, this doesn't happen. And so now I think you're right. Our sort of our idea of what players should be, it is warped by some of these guys that just like, their bodies defy everything. And I'm not like, who knows if they're 100% clean? I have no idea.
Sure.
But the fact that they're doing it, I mean, watching LeBron James at this point is still like an amazing thing to watch.
It's just incredible.
Like, what is happening?
But you look at like Steph Curry, still playing at a high level, but definitely not the level he was at 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
Chris Paul, same thing. Yes, he's still playing, but he's not Chris Paul. Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, all aging mostly normally.
Yes.
So Kevin Durant running out of some gas. Dame Lillard running out of gas. Kawhi Leonard, it's like, yeah, man, that's how this is supposed to go. Not everybody's going to be LeBron James. And so that's where I think, do the 65-game mandates have something to do with it? Yeah, I think so. And I think the minutes played has something to do with it, 1,000%. But only to the extent that it's causing guys to show how old they are.
Yeah.
In basketball years, I mean.
No, I totally agree.
It's
like,
just...
like, basketball years will eventually catch up to you. You can only run and jump and do that for so long, again, unless you're LeBron. And
they're all playing in the Olympics together.
Yeah. All right. Banana boat time. Yeah, I think it's weird, too. Like, I mean, with LeBron, I didn't think he would hold up for 10 years because of his just like sheer size, like the fact that he came into the league at 18, 19 years old. Coming into the league, he was like 6'8", 265.
Just an absolute unit.
No one has ever been able to play like that above the rim.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Karl Malone played that size, but not like
on
this.
The block.
Yeah, he just elbows, like... And could he dunk on a breakaway? Yeah, he could dunk on a breakaway. But like for LeBron to be the player that he is, it's just totally outlandish that he's been able to hold up. And, you know, good for him. He's spent a lot of money to take care of his body. He's done the work. But still, like what he's been able to accomplish is nuts.
Karl Malone, at age 39, just to stick with the Karl Malone thing here, at age 39, the same age as LeBron, started all 81 games for the Jazz and played 36 minutes a night. Okay, impressive for sure. But he averaged 20.6 points, 7.8 boards, 4.7 assists. like really, really good, but not MVP caliber, all NBA caliber player.
I mean, he might have made all NBA, but that's just because.
He did not. He stopped making all NBA teams at 37.
Okay.
But this is a guy who was even then he was a marvel. But you could see the effects of the aging.
Mm-hmm.
And with LeBron, it's just like, man, you see it a little bit, but it's nuts.
No, it's absolutely wild.
And good on the Lakers for finally beating the Nuggets. Good for them.
Oh, gentleman sweep is coming.
Oh, dude.
There's a couple of gentleman sweeps coming.
Feels like it.
Yeah.
Wait, what's the other
one? Because I thought Phoenix might win. No.
Oh, no.
There's no chance.
We might get one in Thunder Pelicans.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't think the Pelicans are winning a game in that series. I know they're cooked.
I think so, too.
Anyways, we got a break. Let's talk some NFL draft with Doug Farrar. Doug Farrar, the managing editor of Touchdown Wire. He watches as much film and grinds as much film as anybody I know. Like, Doug, what are you doing today? Waking up and watching tape. What do you need? Like, that is what this guy does. I can't wait to talk to him about this NFL draft. We'll talk some Raiders and Niners for sure, but we'll take a look at the draft as a whole as well. Stay tapped in for Doug. You're going to learn something right here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile, and on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Happy Monday. I'm Kyle. He's James. And that guy right there is Doug Farrar, the managing editor at TouchdownWire.com. One of the smartest football people I know, and thrilled to have him here. Doug, I know how hard I work during the three-day draft. And then I see all the stuff you're doing, and I'm like, I've got it easy. So thank you for making time. And I'm thrilled that you're even awake right now.
I'm ambulatory, just barely. Yeah, when you cover the entire NFL, man, it's like, phew, just never stops. It never stops for any of us. But it's my favorite. It's my favorite time of the year because right now it's all about evaluation,
right?
And projecting, and you know, this guy goes here and that guy goes there, and I know we're going to talk about scheme fits for the Niners and Raiders, maybe other things, and you know how players fit in. You know, obviously, I love covering the NFL. This is my favorite stuff. It's just, you know, watching tape and you know trying to figure out, okay, this guy does these things well, these things not so much, attributes and liabilities, and then you're projecting, and then these guys go where they go, and then you break it all down and figure it all over again. It's just it's awesome. I wish I could clone myself so I could sleep, but you know, it is what it is.
Sleep's overrated anyway. We'll get to the Raiders and the 49ers for sure. I want to, off the bat though, what did you make of the Michael Penix pick to the Falcons at number 8 overall?
It struck me, guys, as a situation where, and I know they had him as I've heard this, they had him as the number 2 quarterback. They had him as the number 4 overall player.
Wow.
They loved him. But this struck me as a situation where the building was divided. I would imagine there were people in that building saying, we just got Kirk Cousins. What are we doing here? We need five different guys. We need 5 starters on defense. But somebody, a shot caller, was like, I don't care. I want Penix. And hey, I'm a Seattle guy. I watched all his games. I think Penix is great in most possible ways. He is pretty much NFL ready, best deep thrower in this class. You know, he's got a lot on he needs the pocket movement stuff, and pocket efficiency is a problem, but it is for a lot of college quarterbacks. But I, you know, aside from the making fun of the whole disaster they put themselves in, he's going to be 24. If Cousins stays healthy, the contract is structured as such where you're basically wasting the first 2 or 3 years of Penix's career.
Right.
So what, he plays a year, and then you have to decide on his 5th year option, and then he's almost 30. Kind of, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
I get why they liked him so much, but you know, GMs like all kinds of players. The Niners weren't taking a quarterback at 31. You know, that's not what you do. You have to understand cost management and you know how you're putting your whole team together. I think the Falcons, somebody in charge said, "Ooh, shiny thing," and that's what you get.
Wow. Now, I think along that lines, with the first 14 picks of the draft are offensive players. How crazy was that to watch unfold? And, you know, like, I'm sure you're somebody who does, like, enough mocks and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how close did you come to, like, your top, it just throws it out the window, it feels like. If you're going to grade your draft, no one could have predicted 14 consecutive offensive players.
Yeah, well, I did my top 50 as I do every year, top 50 prospects. My top 5 were all offensive players. Quinyon Mitchell, who went to the Eagles, was 6. You know, how he does it again. I'm not that surprised in that there were so many quarterbacks who were going to go high and so many teams needed you've got 6 quarterbacks. I mean, yeah. And then the corresponding receivers. So now you fill out a 10, and then it's just sort of where everyone goes. I mean, really, we just talked about the Penix thing. I never didn't mock a defensive player to Atlanta at 8.
Mm-hmm.
I always mocked a defense because that's what they needed. It's clear. They loaded up. They've got, you know, 3 first-round skill players on offense already.
Yep.
Now they have 4. It's a quarterback. They're not going to start for 2 or 3 years unless Cousins gets hurt. So nobody could have predicted that. I think that was the fulcrum on which all the mock drafts just went in the peach-a-do. Because what are you going to do then? I mean, it's like, okay, we could not. You know, I would give them, I think I gave them Mitchell once. I think I gave them Jared Verse once. I think I gave them Dallas Turner once. That's what they needed.
Yeah.
And they got, what I wrote in my grades is they got cute in a draft where they could have been contenders. And then with Johnny Newton of Illinois on the board, who was my DT1, they traded up to get Rook Arroro from Clemson, who's good, but I thought had 3rd-round tape. So, okay, it's your guys' team. Do what you want. As far as the top 14 on offense, no, because when you need a quarterback, you need a quarterback. So if you're going to, you know, I thought J.J. McCarthy was an overdraft, especially trading up. But this is what you do. Quarterbacks, well, not in San Francisco where you're your Super Bowl quarterback is Mr. Irrelevant. You guys got away with one there. But overall, I think quarterbacks generally get drafted about a round before they should. Of course, with, you know, Williams and Daniels, that's a different story. But, you know, I wasn't that surprised. Would I have been surprised if 12 of the 14 were offensive players? No, because most of my high guys were offensive players anyway. That's just, and I'm looking at 2025 stuff now, and I think it's going to be a lot of defensive players, not a lot of great quarterbacks, and there's going to be two or three running backs taken in the first round. So, and teams know this. They've done their advanced work. So if you need to get a quarterback, you had better do it this year, because next year, I mean, there's always going to be one guy who comes out of nowhere. And I think this year it was Jaden Daniels. There's going to be one guy you're like, wow, okay, we didn't see that coming. But for the most part, next year is not a strong quarterback draft. So, and it's not as strong a skill player draft on offense. So if you're going to do it, you do it now. And teams know that.
Doug Farrar, managing editor of Touchdown Wire, knows about as much about this draft class as anybody else that you're going to talk to. So I want to switch
gears. You really need to meet more people, Kyle.
No, I'm fine. I know everybody I need to know. When I have questions, I come to you. You hit me with a Chop Robinson scouting report in 2 hours, and it's great. So I want to shift gears and talk about the 49ers. I want to talk specifically right now about their first two picks.
Right.
Did you feel like they reached with those picks with Ricky Pearsall at 31 and then with Renardo Green at 64?
Well, let's talk about Renardo Green first. That is absolutely not a reach. I had a late first, early second round grade on Renardo Green. This guy, you go back and watch the LSU tape. Renardo Green put Malik Nabers in jail.
Yeah.
Deflected a deep fade from Jaden Daniels, and Daniels is the best deep fade thrower in this class. Had an interception when Nabers fell down because Green was covering him so tight. Had an interception, like a 45-yard return. He's really, really good. So the fact that he wasn't mentioned with all the top corners, I don't care. I just watched the tape. And so I think they got a bit of a steal there. The interesting thing with Pearsall, he is, and of course everyone was saying, and I'm sure you've heard it a million times, oh, they're taking him because they're either going to trade Ayuk or Debo. He's not really either one of those guys. His playing profile is not the, you know, all over the place, force multiplier, you know, strength guy who glues the pass and the run game together like Debo. And it's not the outside route running artiste that Ayuk has become. I think Ayuk is a top 10 receiver in the league. Pearsall is kind of like Ladd McConkey is. He reminds me a bit of Amon-Ra St. Brown in that he can play some outside, but it's, you know, 60 to 70% slot. That's what he's going to do with the Niners. He understands routes. He knows how to get open. My other comp for him, and I know it's white guy, I'm sorry, but Julian Edelman, really, because he had some really tough catches over the middle. And think about Edelman when he, I remember I was doing a story on Trevell Gaines, who has trained a whole bunch of players. And Edelman was there before anyone knew who he was. And I've never seen him work out as fiendishly as Edelman did. And you saw that on the field. And Pearsall has that same thing where he's a dog, man. He is not afraid. You know, the one-handed catch against he had one, I think it was Carolina, Charlotte. And he had another one against LSU where it was the same thing, except it wasn't a one-handed catch where he had to go up and get it. And he had three guys converging on him, and he knew it. He didn't care. So he is a dog in that sense. But he's really more a slot outside hybrid who will, you know, get open on a slant. He'll get open on a pivot. The, you know, 5 to 15 yard stuff underneath. Now, so I like it better in that he's not either one of those guys. If they can keep Ayuk and Debo, and now they have Pearsall, that's three guys. You know, you're running levels, and it's a quick out route and something at 10 to 15 yards, something at 25 yards. Maybe it's Debo, Pearsall, Ayuk. I mean, good luck covering that to one side.
Yeah.
So I like to pick a lot. I don't think 31 is too rich. I think they got the guy they wanted.
That now, when we look at the rest of the Niners draft, they did take Dominic Pooney at in the third round. It looked like that there were some other players that they were more intrigued by that they moved back because the players weren't there for them. Do you think that they probably should have attacked the offensive line a little heavier in this draft? Or when you're looking at this, it just maybe the value wasn't there in the third, fourth, fifth rounds for them to do that in this particular draft?
Well, teams think differently depending on where they are in the stratosphere. If you're the Panthers and you need everything but a quarterback, it's like, okay, we'll just take the best guy. That's more BPA. When you're constantly competing for Super Bowls like the Niners are, it gets a lot more targeted. And I don't think it's mean to say that Colton McKivitz was their biggest problem overall on the roster. The right guard stuff wasn't great either, but that right tackle thing. And Pooney, and because I'm weird, I did this. I watched all 8 snaps he had at right tackle for Kansas last year, and most of them were he pulled from the left guard or left tackle pre-snap over to outside the right tackle. So he's done that. John Lynch said, we project him as a guard, but he can play all 5 positions. I haven't seen him play center. He didn't give up a single sack in 2 years at Kansas. I think he could be a credible right tackle. They're just, you know, they're going to know more than I do when they go into mini camps and, you know, off-season stuff. They're going to know where is our biggest need. I think they got him because he can fill the biggest need in a credible sense. Yeah. I'm not saying he's going to be Lane Johnson at right tackle, but he can do that. And he's a big guy with a good playing personality. I think he comes in. So whether he's right guard or right tackle, I think they make themselves better at one of those positions. I just know, and I think we all know, where the biggest problem is. And that's a separate issue.
No doubt. Doug Farrar, managing editor of the Touchdown Wire. Before we jump over to the Raiders, I want to ask you about Malik Mustafa. Because the more I watched him, the more I became shocked that he lasted as long as he did into the fourth round. Why do you think he was there at 124?
He reminded me a lot of Cam Chancellor. Just a downhill thumper guy.
Yep.
You don't want him in the deep third. That's probably why he went as low as he did. Because, you know, you want... And Mustafa is really good at when everything's in front of him, you know, backpedaling, transitioning and all that and hanging with guys in the numbers and in the seam. Maybe not so much. I know there's been a lot of speculation that because the Niners, when Hufanga was out last year, you really saw it and you really felt it. It was a big difference. I think there are some characteristics that are similar in that. I mean, Hufanga can play the deep third, but you really want everything in front of him.
Yeah.
So I would imagine they probably looked at Mustafa, who, and I've talked to a lot of people who love him. I like him. I think he's, you know, I tend to veer towards deep third safeties, but for what he is, he's great. You know, short, intermediate, a little bit of deep. Yeah, he's fine. And he does fit that role, which, again, you really felt the difference when Hufanga wasn't in there. And this guy is a... You know, he's a stalker. He will go after you. And, you know, there's no question about that. The reason he lasted as long as he did is because when he has to cover past what he can see, it gets a little weird. But, you know, you don't want to debit him for what he can't do. You want to find a place for what he can do. And I think in that regard, I think, yeah, he's a good fit for that defense.
Doug, outside of the guys that we've already gone through, the top 3 guys here, is there anyone else that you just love that they took, whether it's Bethune or it's Kingston or Coing or Guerrero? Is there anyone that jumps off that you're like, hey, I'm at least intrigued by that player and maybe he's got a chance to make a Super Bowl contending team?
Guerrero's fun. The tape matches the combine speed. I like, is it Coing or Cowing?
Cowing.
There we go.
Smaller slot target with nice explosive play potential on ghost seam and over routes. Yeah, I thought he was Arizona's got some guys. They've got some guys, especially coming out next year. Yeah. They have another receiver who's incredible. But I like him as a, you know, not that the Niners are going to run a bunch of 4 wide because they don't do that. But maybe he sticks as a, you know, when they go 3-by-1, maybe he's a slot guy. He's a speedy dude. And I think Guerrero, you know, the Niners are an outside zone team above all, and he fits that really well. So there are 2 guys that I haven't watched everybody, but those are 2 guys that stood out.
Cool.
Let's shift gears and talk about the Raiders real quick, Doug. I think Brock Bowers is my favorite pick in this draft. Not only because
I think he's going to be a lot better in the NFL than he was at Georgia, and I'll tell you why.
Yeah, please.
Yes. And especially in Getsy's or OC, Mm-hmm. He has always been a two tight end guy. Michael Mayer is more of a, I always think of Jason Witten. You know, he's not scalding down the, you know, he's not going to catch a bunch of deep balls. He's good in that. I'm not comparing him to Jason Witten, just that sort of usage.
Sure.
When I watched Bowers, and I watched him a lot, I kept thinking, why aren't they letting him go downfield? Everything is yak. But he had a lot of explosive plays out of that. When he went downfield, it was a problem for a defense. So I think they're going to make it interesting if they get him more vertical. I know Getsy and Cole Kmet in Chicago, that kind of usage, I think Bowers can be absolutely dynamic. So I think in the right offense, he could be even better in the NFL than he was with Georgia.
Mm, dang. That'd be nuts.
Yeah, I mean,
and by the way, Powers Johnson, I guess we're moving him to guard. He was my favorite offensive lineman in this class.
Mm. Really? Even with all the interior offensive linemen?
Regardless of position. My favorite offensive lineman.
Can he play guard? Because it sounds like that's what he'll do for the Raiders.
Yeah, and it's funny because I thought the Niners would take him because he reminded me of Alex Mack, who, of course, Kyle had Cleveland, Atlanta, and San Francisco. Right. If ever there's a Kyle Shanahan offensive lineman, it's this guy.
Sure.
But, yeah, I love Powers Johnson. I think wherever you put him, he's great. Delmar Glaze, I struggled with. He's a bigger guy. I don't know if they're going to move him to guard. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's a tackle. It's like, sure. Not sure. Speed counters and getting, you know, to the second level was weird. And I'll say DeCamrion Richardson, the guy from Mississippi State, the guy I liked better was MJ Devonshire of Pitt, the guy they got in the seventh round. Oh. Natural man match corner, smooth in transition. He's a guy who can follow guys. He'll follow receivers all over the field. I like that pick in the seventh round better than Richardson in the fourth.
Last thing here, you texted me something right before we started, and I have to ask because I don't want to wait. Why are Vikings fans all pissed off at you?
Well, I tweeted J.J. McCarthy went 10th overall, and the Vikings traded up to get him. Michael Pratt, quarterback from Tulane, went 245th to the Packers. Now, tell me one thing McCarthy does that Pratt doesn't. Mm. I'm still waiting.
Oh,
besides play at Michigan, play for Jim Harbaugh, and be a winner. So now I feel like he'd be wins.
I was hoping that the 49ers were going to take Michael Pratt, and that was just going to continue their cycle of not paying quarterbacks.
Well, I'll tell you, I talked to him at the combine for a few minutes, and it's you know, when you talk to those quarterbacks, they say, that guy's going to be a coach someday. He's so smart. That's Pratt. And he had a lot of explosive runs, both scrambles and design QB runs. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of explosive plays downfield. And I guess people look at him and think, oh, he's just a Chad Pennington noodle arm guy. No, he isn't. Not that I think Pratt should have gone in the first round, but I don't want to get off on a tangent here. I kept watching McCarthy and waiting for it and waiting for it and waiting for it. And I'm like, not to bag on another, because Alex Smith, I mean, we all knew what he was and what he wasn't, and he maximized what he was. But in today's NFL, where it's all about creating and defending explosive plays, where would Alex Smith go? First overall?
No.
Maybe in the third round. Mm-hmm. Maybe first overall in the third round. So the McCarthy thing, I kept waiting for the light to go on. Didn't happen. That's just me.
Interesting. That's Doug Farrar.
That's why I never go to Minnesota again.
Very good. That's Doug Farrar. He's the managing editor of Touchdown Wire. He has so much content up about the draft. If you want to get caught up, head to touchdownwire.com and check all of it out. Doug, thank you so much for hanging out with us today, man. Appreciate you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
See you, buddy. One of the hardest working men in football, Doug Farrar.
Yeah, I think when you have guys like this that just get so deep into the draft, it's tough. Like, you want to steal their time, but you have to understand just how much they do. And, you know, I always feel the same about Sam Vecenie from The Athletic, like with the NBA draft. Like, his knowledge on the NBA draft is just so...
It is insane.
It's absolutely incredible. There's only a handful of guys now that I trust, maybe not even that, when it comes to the NBA draft, to really understand and know their stuff. And so it's good to have one of those guys on for the football side, because the football side is bonkers, man. Like, how many, we're talking 32 teams in 7 rounds of a draft. Like, that, just the sheer number plus comp picks, like the sheer number of prospects that you have to go through is so much larger than what you're looking at with NBA players.
It's insane. Yeah. And just the in the NFL, you've got not just 1 year of games to go through. It's usually 3, 4, sometimes 5 years of snaps that you got to go watch. It's like, man, that is a ton of work.
Oh yeah.
Like I'll go through like Daniel Jeremiah's big board or Doug's board or mock draft or whatever it is, and just look at the players who are going to be in the Niners range, and I'll start researching those guys.
Oh yeah.
But man, the people who dive deep on all the tape stuff is crazy. He is very, very high on Renardo Green, the cornerback that the Niners took out of Florida State.
No, and I think that's good.
So Doug does a weekly show with Greg Cosell, and Greg Cosell, also a big Renardo Green guy. So I'm fascinated to watch him play, because you have guys like Doug and Greg Cosell who are like, this guy is an early, late round one, early round two type of prospect. And then you've got guys like Dane Brugler who are like, yeah, it's a fourth round prospect.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
I'm also like, I like the way that we've got our show set up today. We've got a guy like Doug who has just the sheer knowledge on what is happening.
Every prospect.
Right. And then we have a Raiders guy and a Niners guy coming in to sort of give the vibe on what the team needed and what they're thinking and all that stuff afterwards, sort of the post-mortem. And these guys, they have enough knowledge when it comes to the prospects as well, but it's different knowledge. And that's kind of like I enjoy
it's more
this.
Team specific.
Yeah. Very, very team specific.
Yeah. Tashawn Reed covers the Raiders for The Athletic. He'll join us at 11:15. And then Nick Wagner, who covers the 49ers for ESPN, he will hop on with us at 11:30. We're not allowed to ask Nick about his draft grades.
Oh, no.
And I'm fine with it.
Okay.
Draft grades are silly.
They are silly.
I do,
man.
Them. Like, I did them for the Niners.
Yeah.
But I just, like, I don't know, man. Like,
yeah. Like,
so you just try and grade the process, I guess?
Yeah.
How they fit?
That's tough.
It's really hard.
Yeah.
Because I have no idea. Give me 3 years. That's how I do it every offseason. I go three drafts back and I regrade the draft. Because now, like, look, we've got a rookie season, a second season, and a sophomore slump, and then that third season to either break out or fill a depth role, or they're out of the league or whatever it is. Now you can actually grade the draft. But yeah. Immediately after, I got nothing for you, man.
Yeah. I'm totally with you. And then, like, I was going through NFL.com's draft grades, right? Every single team got an A or a B. There's like two C pluses total. You got a C plus because we gave you a C minus with your first round pick of Michael Penix at number 8. It's like, well, no, that the first day draft, that's an F.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
No, that's like, I don't care how good he is. Like, unless he just like runs over Kirk Cousins and like steals the job day one, and then it's like, what do you do with the $180 million that you paid that guy? Like, wild.
Dude, my biggest pet peeve about watching the draft, because I'm locked in, I'm watching all 257 picks or whatever it was this year, is every single, go back and watch, every single pick. Oh, this is a player I had way higher up my back. Oh, I love this fit. What a great pick. Da, 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 da. Like every single one. And I get that's part of it. Like, they are talking about the upside. They're always, because they're on TV. They got players watching, family watching, agents who they talk to watching. They're not going to go out and be like, this guy stinks. No idea why he got drafted. But they'll throw that in every once in a while. Like, oh, you know, he's going to play guard. I don't love him as a guard, but, you know, he got a high motor, really intense competitor. So love the pick, love the fit. Like, you just said he's going to play guard and you don't love him at guard. That's a bad pick then. That's okay. But yeah, every pick. Oh, love this pick. Oh, how did he was way higher on my board. Oh, how did this guy fall?
I'm watching. 260th
pick. Oh, love this guy.
I was watching and they were like, they skipped over a guy who just got drafted to talk about a guy who hadn't been drafted yet and why he could possibly have fallen this far.
Oh, late day three is crazy.
And I'm like, what are we doing here? Like, if this kid's family's been waiting their whole life to like have this moment, and you're talking about some guy who hasn't got drafted, who gets drafted next, and then you roll tape on him. Oh, look, we already had it keyed up. It's like, no, man. Let the one kid have his day. Let his family have his day.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I get why you can't, because the picks go so fast in that last round.
Yeah.
Or the last couple of rounds that you can't like deep dive on everybody. But yeah, the hey, we're gonna break down this guy who hasn't gotten picked yet.
Yeah, what was it?
Nuts.
It was a Taco Bell commercial when Nikola Jokic was drafted.
Yes,
they went to commercial.
And it's Nikola Jokic.
And Nikola Jokic was drafted, and now he's like a two-time, maybe three-time MVP, and no one got to see his draft tape because you went to a Taco Bell commercial.
Yeah,
yeah.
Have you seen that tweet that's been going around from 2015? That's like Nikola Jokic is coming to the NBA and he's going to dominate everything.
No,
everybody watch out. Yeah, it's gone viral again. Tweet from 10 years ago. It's crazy. It was spot on. They nailed it.
Yeah.
I trust that person's draft analysis. Okay, that's James. I'm Kyle. You can check us out on ESPN 1320 AM. You can check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. Thank you so much, everybody, hanging out with us for this first hour. We got a second hour coming up. We'll talk more NBA playoffs. We'll talk more NFL draft right here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports. Later.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.